All right, everybody should have a handout. We're continuing our study through the Christian home. This is lesson four. Lesson number four. And read a good comic this morning. Fits in with family because it's about a husband and a wife. And you know how sometimes you forget to do things. Husbands, right? Your wife asks you to do something and you forget. And, you know, you ask for forgiveness and whatnot. And, well, you know, the husband says, "Sweetheart, I just realized I forgot to pick up your dress at the cleaner's." And she says, "No problem, honey. I can wear something else tomorrow." He says, "I'm so sorry. I should have written it down like you suggested." "Don't worry about it, dear," she says. "You're the best," he says. "But I still feel bad about letting you down like that." And she says, "Oh, honey, please. Everybody forgets things now and then." And she says, "As a matter of fact, this morning I forgot to take the roast out of the freezer for dinner tonight." And he just stands there speechless. And he walks out of the room and she says, "Dear?" And he says, "Please, honey, I need a moment." You see, he forgot something and, you know, felt all bad. But when she forgot to take the roast out of the freezer, uh-oh. We all forget things, don't we? Husbands and wives. It's a funny time sometimes. But today, actually, is a serious topic. Because the quote is from the book of Ecclesiastes. If you open up to Ecclesiastes 7, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is a very serious topic, a very dangerous, attack on the family. And the quote says, "More bitter than death." Now, what in the world could be more bitter than death? Well, certain sins can make life bitter. More bitter than death. The introduction. We are living in an immoral society or culture. We are living in an immoral culture. Nobody can debate that. Amen. Anybody that would dare debate that has their head in the sand. An immoral culture we live in. And it says one of the most destructive things known to any marriage is the sin of adultery.
Amen.
So that's why this is a serious topic. And this is a serious attack on the home. Adultery. We live in an immoral culture. We live in a culture that glorifies it, glamorizes it, makes it look as though it were acceptable.
Yes.
And that's what Satan wants. He wants to make this sin acceptable.
Amen.
Imagine that they would promote this on television as though it were an acceptable practice, right? As though this is an acceptable thing. An immoral culture. And what could be more destructive to a marriage than adultery?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 7, written by King Solomon. Great book of the Bible. I actually hope to do a study of this book in the near future. Great book of the Bible about life. It's a book about life. It's about life on earth. Life under the sun, as Solomon calls it. Life on this earth. And Solomon, being the wisest man that ever lived, and the wealthiest man that ever lived, and you name it, Solomon had it. And he searches. And that's number one, is the search. Roman numeral one on your handout. Roman numeral one is the search. And Solomon went searching for things. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was searching for purpose. He was searching for happiness. He was searching for all different things in life. Tried this and tried that and tried this and tried that. And through his searchings, he discovered a lot of things. He learned a lot about life. He was a very wise man. And he learned a lot about life by searching for happiness and searching for things. And that's letter A. King Solomon went searching for happiness in different places. He went searching for happiness. And that is what the world does. The world goes searching for happiness, looking here and looking there, trying to find happiness in different ways, whether it be certain hobbies or whatever it is. They try to find happiness, material possessions, popularity, whatever it may be. So Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, in his searchings, notice, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all the words that thou hast spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Verse 23 is where we're going to focus. All this have I proved by wisdom, and I said, I shall be wise. But it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? You know, he's searching. Look at verse 25. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And then we find verse 26. Amongst his searchings, he discovered something. Verse 26. And I find more bitter than death, the woman. Well, what kind of woman? Not just women in general. No, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Verse 27, Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all those I have not found. Wow. What is he talking about? Well, first of all, he's searching. Searching for happiness. He said, amongst my searchings, he said, one area that was a real snare was foreign women, strange women, as we've already quoted it in our studies. Women that were, that, you know, we know Solomon's lifestyle. All the wives he had, which was never God's plan. And he discovered this. So letter B, people of the world are constantly searching for security, significance, and satisfaction. People of the world are constantly searching for satisfaction. Solomon went searching. He went looking around. He tried everything. He tried it all. But letter C, true satisfaction in life can only come from a relationship with the Lord. Amen. That is the only place you'll ever find satisfaction, is a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Nowhere else. The relationship with the Lord brings satisfaction, unlike anything else. And letter D, God wants believers to enjoy life as He intended to. God wants believers to enjoy life. God does not want a Christian to be miserable. That's not God's will for a Christian. Oftentimes unbelievers have the wrong idea about the Lord. They don't want to get saved because in their mind, oh man, you know, the Christian life is a bore. You know, you can't do anything anymore. You can't, their quotation, you can't have fun anymore, what they call fun. But what they call fun is not really fun because there's always a snare attached to it. There's always a trap afterwards, right? There's always a hook in the bait. That's the problem. But with the Christian life, you enjoy life as God intended without any snares, without any traps, without any bait. It's a gift from God. Look at John 10:10, or you could just listen to it. Familiar verse of the Bible. John 10:10, where Jesus says these words. John 10:10, he says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Enjoying life as God intended, an abundant life, a life that can be enjoyed without guilt, without fear. Now, amongst Solomon's searchings, he's looking for good people. He's looking for godly people. And he says in letter E, good and godly people are hard to find.
Amen.
Good and godly people are hard to find.
Amen.
Solomon basically said it's like one in a thousand. It's a fair ratio. One in a thousand. That's a pretty fair ratio. One in a thousand people care about pleasing God. We see it all around us. For every thousand people, there's only one that wants to please God, Solomon says. They're hard to find. Psalm 12:1. Listen to these words. In Psalm 12:1, where the Bible says this, Help, Lord! David cries out for help. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Lord, help me. There's no godly people around. Where did they all go?
Amen.
Yeah, you ever feel like that?
Amen.
Where are they all? Hard to find. They're hard to find. And Solomon said, All right, I went looking for good men to fellowship with, and they were hard to find. And then he says, I went looking for a good woman, and that was even harder to find. If it's hard to find a good man, he says it's even harder to find a good woman. Letter F. A good and godly woman is very rare. A good and godly woman is very rare. Proverbs 31:10, I'll read to you. Also written by Solomon. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find her? She's hard to find. For her price is far above rubies.
Amen.
I mean precious, valuable, beyond what you can think of, because they're so rare. Rubies are rare. That's what makes them more valuable than even diamonds. Because rubies are more rare than diamonds are. Now, diamonds are still expensive, of course, because of their value, absolutely, because they're the hardest substance in the world, yes. But rubies are more rare. So, a good and godly woman is very rare. Solomon says, I went looking, I couldn't find one. He's searching. And you know, God places a high premium on the conduct of women in a nation. We're not going to read it. But when you go home, you read Isaiah chapter 3. It's listed there on the letter G. You read Isaiah chapter 3 and see how God talks about the women of Israel and how far down the moral ladder they have gone. And that's a real indication of the downfall of a nation. One of the indications of the downfall of a nation is how the women conduct themselves. So letter G, the moral condition of a nation's women is extremely important. Now that doesn't mean it doesn't matter how the men act. No, that's not what this means. But what this means is how the women act is very important to God as well. We live in a country where, unfortunately, we see a lot of immorality. Now, men are never excused from it. Okay? Men are never excused from it. But it certainly doesn't help when women walk around the way they do and conduct themselves in the way that they do. That doesn't help the situation. Right? But it's no excuse. It's never an excuse for the men. But God places great value on how the women conduct themselves. Very important. So Solomon is searching. All this is leading the way. More bitter than death. Because then we go to number two. And number two is the snare. Now we hit the trap. The snare. Number two. That word is found in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 26, where he talks about, he says, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares. It's a trap. And let's start with letter A. Solomon understood very well the danger an ungodly woman can be. He knew from experience the danger an ungodly woman can be. Because I'll read to you 1 Kings 11:3 about Solomon. Here's what it says. And he, that is Solomon, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. That was Solomon's downfall. Because these women were from foreign countries, and they came bringing all their religious baggage with them. And they all nagged on Solomon, saying, build me a shrine, build me a shrine. I want a shrine for my God, I want a shrine for my God, and this and that. If you love me, you'll do this for me, and you'll build me this shrine. And Solomon compromised and started building shrines to false gods. Solomon was a believer. He knew the Lord. How did he end up from being such a great man of God to now building shrines? Well, because those women turned away his heart. It was a trap, and he fell into it. Solomon fell into the trap. Listen to letter B. Very true, letter B. Nothing can raise a man like a good woman. They say behind every good man is an even better woman, right?
Amen.
I believe that. Nothing can raise a man like a good woman. But you know what else is true on the other side of the coin? Nothing can ruin a man like a bad woman. How about that? Both sides of the coin. Nothing can raise a man like a good woman, but nothing can ruin a man like a bad woman either. Women have great power, great influence a good wife can be there to support and motivate and push her husband to do great things. Or she can be there to drag him right down and keep him from doing anything. It goes both ways. Solomon, unfortunately, got ruined. He got ruined. He was a great man. I mean, you'd study the life of Solomon. What a great man. Responsible for building the house of God. Beautiful temple of God. Solomon built it. Worship the Lord. I mean, you read about the worship services they had in that temple. The glory of the Lord came down. You read about it in 1 Kings. He built that temple and they offered offerings to God and they prayed and the glory of the Lord filled that place. And he went from that to being ruined. Building shrines to false gods. Worshiping all their gods. Breaking that first commandment. Listen to what Clarence Sexton says, letter C. Those dainty little hands become chains of iron. You think you have her, but she has you. That's the truth. Chains. Solomon uses those words. He says her hands are as bands. That means chains. Chain you up. And letter D, and we'll look at a few passages here with letter D. This is one of Satan's biggest traps. This sin. This is one of Satan's biggest traps. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Turn to Proverbs 5. And starting with verse 3. Proverbs 5. Remember we already said, what does the word strange mean? It means foreign, one not belonging to you. So when we read in Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as on honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Sure. But then verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. See the after effect? That's what's never shown, is it? The television shows don't show verse number 4 and 5. They only show you verse 3. That's how Satan operates. He only shows you one side. He doesn't show you what happens afterwards, the destruction. Verse 6, lest thou ponder, shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Don't even go near her. Maybe she's one of your coworkers. Stay away. Don't even go near her. Don't even talk to her. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Maybe she's a neighbor. Stay away. Satan wants to trap you. And this goes both ways. Maybe he, ladies, is a neighbor. Maybe he, ladies, is a coworker, right? It goes both ways. It's not, we're not, you know, this, the other side of the coin is there. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's talking about the Bible, how it's a lamp, right? It guides us. And notice verse 24, what else the Bible does for us? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Oh, she'll compliment you, you know, she'll compliment you about this and compliment you, you feel all happy. Or he, ladies, will compliment you and, oh, he pays attention to me. He noticed I got my hair done. My own husband didn't even notice I got my hair done. He noticed I did my nails. My own husband didn't even notice I got my nails painted. Sure, he'll flatter you for only one reason, you see. Verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Meaning, you know, somebody steals because they have nothing, it's not good. But we would understand that, and we would make them pay it back, and more so, sevenfold. But verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now, that doesn't mean you won't ever be forgiven by God, but you can be sure others will never forget that. That'll be a stain on your life forever.
Amen.
It'll never go away. That stain never gets washed away. That's why Nathaniel Hawthorne, right? Scarlet Letter. Did I get his name right? Hawthorne wrote the Scarlet Letter. Main character of Hester Prynne, who committed adultery, right? She had to wear that letter A upon her shirt everywhere she went. The town made her do that. Of course, at the end of the story, you find out who the father of the child was, Pearl. The name of the girl was Pearl. You find out who the father was. What an unlikely suspect, right? You got to read the book if you haven't. Find out who the culprit was there. But she had to wear that stain, that letter, everywhere she went. Now, in our culture, we don't do that. Maybe, I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but we don't do that in our culture. But when people find out, and especially for a believer, I mean, these are the types of sins that Paul said should never be mentioned among you, but yet in the church of Corinth and other places, even in the early church, these were problems in the church. And these sins, you know, yeah, you know, you may try to forget about, but you can be sure others aren't going to forget. Yes, Jackie.
Nowadays, some of the young girls don't mind wearing
it. You're right. Isn't that sad?
I think they're on their clothes.
You're right. Now look at verse number 34. For jealousy, is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest him many gifts. That's talking about not only are you going to be in trouble with your own reputation, but now you're probably going to be shot by the woman's husband, right, when he finds out. Yeah. So, guys, the point is, this is a serious chain. This is a serious trap. And one more, Proverbs 7, just a few verses from Proverbs 7 before we move on. Proverbs 7, again, there's so many verses that talk about this. But Proverbs 7, verse 4, say in the wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Now you want to have wisdom on your side. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now verse 6 begins a story that Solomon tells. A true story. Solomon says, you know, in verse number 6, I was looking out my window one night, and I saw something happen. You ever look out your window and see something happen? We saw something happen right outside this church on Tuesday. We saw something happen. Me and my family, we don't need to watch crime shows on TV because we see it happen in real life. Right outside the window, I was at school half a day. This is an interlude. I was at school half a day. We had a teacher luncheon. It was, you know, half a day. School ended after the award ceremony. So 10, you know, by 11 a.m., 12 in the afternoon, kids were leaving. We had a luncheon. So 1:30, my phone rings, and it's my wife. And she's, like, very upset. I mean, she's hysterical because outside the window were about 24 policemen with guns drawn pointing at a car. We haven't found out why or what. We don't know yet. Wasn't in the paper. Wasn't online. I've been searching and searching. I have no idea what happened. But, I mean, and she had the windows open. It was a cool day on Tuesday, if you remember. She heard, you know, what alerted her was she heard them screaming at the car. Get out of the car. Put your hands up. 24 policemen all pointing their guns. Wallington police, Ashbrook Heights police, East Rutherford police, Garfield police, and state troopers. Right, I mean, right in front of this church. The car was stopped right there. Both sides of the street. Police cars. And so, you know, you never know what you're going to see outside your window. Crazy story. Now, Solomon saw something out of his window. He looked out of his window, and in verse 7 it says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. He said, I saw this young guy. And he was just wandering around. You know that's the number one problem right there? Wandering without a purpose. You better have a reason for being where you are. Don't just wander around. Because if you have nothing to do, Satan's going to find something for you to do. You better be busy for the Lord. You better be busy doing the right things. Because if you have too much free time on your hands, you're in trouble. Too much free time is no good for anybody. Now, I'm not against an occasional vacation every now and then. I enjoy them. But wouldn't you admit, after a certain amount of time of doing nothing, you start saying, all right, I got to start finding something. You know, I got to go back to work. Now, I enjoy time off too, but after so many days off, I'm ready to go back to work. This guy wandering around, verse 8, he's passing through the streets, and he passes through the street near her corner. Solomon calls it her corner. This lady had a corner, so you know what that's all about. And he went the way to her house, it says in verse 7. This is stuff in the Bible. People say the Bible's not a relevant book. This is stuff that would be in today's paper. And this is the stuff you go to certain inner cities, this is what you see today. There's nothing new under the sun, right? This went on in Solomon's day. And in verse 9, in the twilight of the evening, in the black and dark night, what was he doing out? I have no idea, but he was looking for trouble and he found it. Verse 10, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Did you hear that phrase, the clothing of a harlot? There's a certain way women dress that they ought not dress. And why would any woman that calls themselves a Christian want to even remotely dress that way? It's a bad association. Seeking the wrong kind of attention. Look at verse 11. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Verse 12. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent, meaning hardened face, a shameless face. They have no shame in what they do. No blushing. No shame. She says, verse 14, I've made peace offerings with me. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came diligently to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She says, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt, that Egyptian cotton. Verse 17, I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He'd taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And look at verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Now look at verse 22. Solomon saw all this happen outside his window. Verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Like cattle being led to the butcher. That's what this man was heading to. He was heading to the butcher. His life was about to be ruined. And it says, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. This man was headed for destruction. His life was about to be ruined. And boy, verse number 24, Solomon says, you better listen to me now, O ye children, O ye young people. And attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, neither go astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. And notice this, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. She's a manslayer. Samson, great example, slain by a woman, Delilah. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Wow. So letter E. Falling into the trap of adultery will bring complete destruction. Sure destruction. It's a trap. It's a snare. Stay away.
Amen.
So now let's finish on a positive note. How can you and I as believers stay safe? How can you and I as believers be sure by God's grace that we don't fall into this trap of Satan? How can we as believers be sure? Well, number three is the safety. There is a safe place you can go to. You don't have to fall into this trap. That's the point. You do not have to fall into this trap. There is safety, number three. And here's letter A. God will make a way of escape from all temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Safety. And letter A is escape. God will make a way of escape. And here also letter B. Here is the key. Our relationship with the Lord is the key to safety. Our relationship to the Lord is the key. You have to keep your relationship with God strong. Because when that weakens, you are more vulnerable to Satan's traps.
Amen.
Now, listen to another quote that Clarence Sexton says, letter C. If you hear of a preacher who falls, and you do on the news, don't you? If you hear of a preacher who falls, he did not fall with the woman first. He first fell in his walk with God.
Amen.
Letter C. He fell first in his walk with God. I believe that. You don't fall into sin like this we're talking about without first falling away from God. It doesn't just, randomly happen. This is usually a gradual deterioration. This is usually a gradual wearing away of your Christian walk. And slowly but surely it gets weaker and weaker, and before you know it, you're open prey. Letter D, also another quote. Our safety has much more to do with our nearness to God than our distance from the opposite sex. Now again, I believe in keeping a healthy distance in the proper context. We've discussed that here. You ought not be, going out to lunch with a woman that's not your wife. How ridiculous is that? I mean, you're just asking for trouble. All right? You don't do that. But it has much more to do with your nearness to God. Letter E. Too many Christians today are cold and casual in their Christianity. Too many Christians are cold and casual. This is just a casual Christians. Casual Christianity. Take it easy kind of Christianity. Yeah, I'll read my Bible when I feel like it. Yeah, I'll go to church when I feel like it. Yeah, I'll pray if I get around. Casual Christianity. It's not serious to them. And they're the ones that are open to Satan's attacks more so than others. Casual. Now, Ecclesiastes 7:26, we read it already, but the key words for this point. He says, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands is bands. But notice what Solomon says after that in verse 26. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. See that? Pleasing God, strong relationship with God, you'll escape from her. That's the surest way to be safe. And God made a way, letter F. God made another way. Married believers are to find their pleasure and satisfaction in the home, not out somewhere else. Not out somewhere else. I'll let you read Proverbs 5:15 through 18 on your own time and you'll see why. Alright? So you can read that later. I'm not going to read that out here. Letter G. God made the family. Man made the casino and the theater and the ballroom, and you can name the bar room, the any other places. Man made those places, but God made the home. The home is where a man belongs with his wife and children, not out gallivanting around town with his buddies on the weekends.
Amen.
No way. Letter H. Our fear of God is what will keep us safe. Amen. When you fear God, you'll do the right things. And that leads me to letter I. Joseph is a great example of victory over temptation. Again, we don't have time to read Genesis 39, but Joseph. Remember Joseph in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife made advances on him, and he said no. And one of his responses to her was, how can I commit this wickedness in the sight of God? He feared God so much that he wouldn't dare think of committing this sin. Fearing God will keep you safe. Relationship with God will keep you safe. Joseph is a great example. And then letter J, there are certain sins that we are no match for and must simply run away from. There are certain sins the Bible says flee. You read those verses there, 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Timothy 2. The Bible says flee fornication. Run away. You'll never, I'm strong enough, I can handle this. Yeah, okay. We'll see how long that lasts. You will get worn down and weakened. You have to run away from it. Flee like Joseph. Remember, Joseph ran out of the house. He left his coat. He ran out of that house. He said, I'm not staying around here. He ran. He said, I'm not even staying here. And then letter K, lastly here in conclusion, letter K, be sure to avoid those things which would desensitize you concerning this sin. Be sure to avoid those things because, again, we mentioned in the beginning, our culture glamorizes this. Television and movies glamorize this, makes it seem as though it's acceptable and no big deal. Oh, may I please just say this? And I guess I should say this to the ladies, because I hope, you know, most men don't, but you're going to sit home and watch soap operas all day? Are you? It's all trash. Alright? I mean, this lesson here, I mean, that's soap operas. This is what we're talking about. Don't watch them. Why? You might say, well, I would never do that. Well, you're desensitizing yourself to it. And then before you know it, it becomes more acceptable. Because you see it all the time. And it becomes more acceptable. Before you know it, you're not as against it as you should be. And before you know it, you might find yourself making compromises. This is how Satan works. He makes us desensitized. Stay away from it. Turn it off. God created the family to be enjoyed as a gift from Him. Do not allow the sin of unfaithfulness to destroy such a wonderful gift from the Lord. God made such a wonderful way. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. So this is a very important topic, but such a needed topic in our country today. So let's close in a word of prayer. All right. Father, I thank You for this night, this morning. I thank You so much for allowing us to look into Your Word, and I thank You for our Sunday school class. Lord, I pray that the words that were spoken as they were Your words would just sink into our hearts and minds and keep us from those things that are unwholesome, Lord, and help us to be faithful to You. And Lord, we didn't mention it, but maybe there are those who would say, you know what, I've already had this sin in my past, and it's a real struggle, and I pray, Lord, that they would just give it over to You and realize that they can find forgiveness. Lord, they can find forgiveness in You, and I pray that they would just determine now to do the right thing and to please You. So, Lord, we just thank You for the way You do forgive and restore. But keep us safe, Lord. Keep us away from Satan's traps, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.